Psalm reading for today is Psalm 85. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto my land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from thy fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the ways of his steps.
Once again, for the privilege of gathering around your word, gathering together with other believers, and if there's anyone here who isn't a believer in Jesus, we pray that that you could believe, and that throughout the world, that those who have not yet believed in Jesus, if there's any who would hear the call of our shepherd Jesus, that many could still be saved. We pray for our speaker this morning. Open his understanding, open his mouth, and give him a message that each of us needs. And be with the listeners here. Open our hearts and our ears and help us to understand. And throughout the world, we pray that your word would go forth wherever you would have it to, Lord. And now let us pray that perfect prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
From God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And let us turn to our text for today. This is Gospel from Luke chapter 13 and verses 1 to 9. And let us read in the name of Jesus. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower of in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of this vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Amen. And this text speaks about disasters and different misfortunes. And today we have the same situation as then, because there is nothing new under the moon. And like at that time, where bad things happened, and today the same. And sometimes I think about TV news, and I thought even several years ago, I thought every day they have something to say. Every day they have something to tell us. And often they say bad things about disasters and terrorism and extremism and all those bad things. And I thought, oh, it would be interesting and good that if some evening we turn on our TV to watch and listen what was new today, what happened today, and think if they say, today we have nothing to tell you. Nothing happened in the world. No disasters, just usual life. People went peacefully to their work, schools, and came back safely. Nothing happened. And after 5 minutes, they say, okay, good night. But every day they have something to say. Disasters and catastrophes and something damaged, broken, and with airplanes, trains, some chemical plants, wars, and so a lot of disasters. And people watch it, they listen it, they worry, they in depression, they go to pharmacy, they buy antidepressant, so they take those medication for depression, and it is good for big pharma. Their profit is growing, share prices are growing, and everything is good in this world. So, and often people ask, especially when something happens with them or with their relatives, friends, and we know that we all know that many bad things happened even with our relatives, with friends, and it happens all the time. And people ask, especially unbelievers, they ask, but where is God? So my daughter, for example, one girl was killed, some criminals, and her mother asked, but where is God? Why did it happen? Why God didn't stop it? And why did he allow it? Yeah, and sometimes it is difficult to explain, but and we cannot understand completely all those situations, but we can try to think about that. And what I can say. So it was time when people lived in complete safety. It was the first people, Adam and Eve, when they lived in paradise together with God. It was completely safe place. But when those people, Adam and Eve, they fell from grace, they sinned, and they were removed from paradise to the earth, and they began to live in the world where there was sin. And this world is the same today. We live in this sinful world. And I would compare it with a war zone. We all heard that there is a spiritual war. War is going all the time. A spiritual war between God and Satan and his fallen angels, devils. And we know that it is not good to live in some territory where there is a war. And we know that in different places of the world, when some war starts, people try to leave that land and refugees, and they go to safer places. And we all live, in fact, in this war zone. And we know that when people live in a real war zone, not only soldiers, not only those people who participate in real battles are killed, sometimes also just peaceful people can be killed accidentally. And so we live in this war zone, and we have nowhere to flee. We cannot run away from this world, and we have to leave it. In this world where sin is. And let us turn to our text, and the first verse says, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And in previous chapter, chapter 12, we see that Jesus spoke to the people and he spoke about many different things. But in the end of that conversation Jesus had with people, some people came to him and told him about a terrible case that there were some people from Galilee, Galileans, and they came to the temple to make sacrifices. And Pilate, that ruler, Roman ruler of Israel of that time, Pilate sent soldiers to kill them, to kill those people in the temple. And their own blood, blood of those people, was mingled with the blood of their sacrifices. So it was really a terrible thing. And those people came to Jesus and they told him, maybe it was news of that day, of that time. So, and they told Jesus about that. And what did we know about Pilate? Pilate was a Roman ruler of Israel of that time, and he was a cruel and evil man. So from historical recordings, we can find out that it was easy for him to kill local people, Jews, people, residents of Israel. It wasn't a problem for him. So there were many cases when he sent his soldiers and they killed people. So, and it was also this case. But probably maybe those Galileans, he didn't kill them without reason completely. Probably they were involved in some plot, maybe in some rebellion. Maybe there were some reasons. Maybe they were serious, maybe not so much serious. But he ordered to kill them, even in the temple. And here I only would like to notice one thing, again about Pilate, when later, when Jews brought Jesus Christ to him and asked him to crucify Jesus. So Pilate, though he was a cruel and evil man, he didn't say, oh, you asked me to kill him, let us do it quickly, it will be fun. No, he didn't want, in fact, we read from the Bible, that Pilate, though he was cruel and evil man, he didn't want to kill Jesus because he didn't see any reason. He didn't see any guilt in Jesus, and he didn't want to kill him. But later he had to do it under pressure of Jews. But let us turn back to our text. And when those people which came to Jesus told him about this terrible news about Galileans, and what did they expect from Jesus? And also here we can say that at that time Jews thought that if some people were, for example, killed like in this case, it was because they were sinners and God punished them like this, or maybe in another those and thing, cases. And also they emphasized, they didn't say just group of people were killed in the temple, but they said that those people were from Galilee, Galileans. And Jews considered those Galileans not as good, as perfect like them, they Jews were themselves. So they were like people of the second sort. They were not so good like Jews. And what did Jesus tell them about that? So in the second verse we can read, and Jesus answered, said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things. So Jesus didn't say, oh, it was terrible, or he didn't confirm the idea that those people were sinners and God punished them, but he asked them, do you think that those people were bigger sinners than other people of Galilee? And it wasn't so. And then in next verse, Jesus continues and he tells something quite different, maybe not good enough for that situation. And he says, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And Jesus tells them, he didn't discuss details of this tragedy, but he tells them, you must repent. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And Jesus didn't mean that if those people don't repent, they will be also killed in the same way like those people in the temple. He went even deeper. He told them that you will perish in eternity. He meant that this death in this life, of course, it is bad, but it is not so much terrible like eternal death, when after this life people go to hell. And this is a real tragedy. And not to be in this hell, Jesus tells them, you must repent. And then Jesus continues, or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? And here Jesus gives his own example of another tragedy, when 18 people were killed because of some technical disaster, we can say. Some tower fell and killed 18 people. And in this case, we can see that they were from Jerusalem, so they were probably Jews, like people of the first sort. And it can happen also with them. And then in the verse 5, Jesus says again, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So Jesus, two times in verse 3 and 5, two times Jesus says about necessity of repentance. He says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And these words of Jesus applied to those ancient people who lived then, about 2,000 years ago, but these words of Jesus applied also to us who live today. And he tells us today, except you repent, you shall perish. So we can see that Jesus tells us to repent, and we probably need to listen to him and to repent. But what is repentance? What does it mean to repent? I remember many years ago I heard we had some like Bible studies with a man, and he was quite educated man, and I mean in biblical sense. And he knew some Greek language, at least he said that he knew that language. And he said about repentance, I remember. He said that in the Bible, in New Testament, this word repentance, in English we read in repentance, but in Greek text, Luke and Matthew and other writers of the Gospels, they used the word, Greek word, I remember, metanoia, Greek word, metanoia. And what does it mean? Metanoia is and repentance, in fact. It means change of mind. So we It is not enough just to say, oh, I regret about my mistakes, about my sins, but our mind should be or must be changed. And if before we loved our sins, but we should come to condition when we don't love them. We hate our sins. We hate those things we did before, and we love different things. And such repentance can be acceptable. And in Edmonton, where we live, we have a small group of people, and every week we have Bible study. And we have one lady, and she asks quite often questions, and it is good because it is more interesting when people ask questions and discussion. And she asks, but it is very easy. Somebody can repent today in his sins, and tomorrow he can go and do the same. Then again, repent and do the same, and all the time. Oh, it is very good and easy. So, and she's skeptical about that. But I think repentance and repentance, different repentances. And one repentance it can be accepted by God, and another repentance, no. This is the same like I have here. For example, $20. This is official Canadian money. And I can take this $20, go to Tim Hortons, for example, or A&W, and buy their burger. But I can also take a piece of paper, right here, $20, and number 20, and to give them this paper, and give me a burger. And they will not give me a burger, in the best case. So, and about the same with repentance. So real repentance, and God can tell the difference between real repentance and not real, like fake repentance maybe. So, and first step in repentance, so we should, first we should admit that we are sinners, that we are sinners. And then we should cry and weep about our mistakes, about our sins. And when this change of mind happens with people, this is true repentance. And then I think such conditions come to the people, like it is written in Matthew. Matthew 3, I would like, about John the Baptist. Because John the Baptist, who was before Jesus, he also spoke about repentance. And Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, and John the Baptist said, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then in the verse 8, he said, John the Baptist, "Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." So repentance should give some fruit. And then also repenting person comes to condition which describes in chapter 5 of Matthew. This is Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus said, verse 5, chapter 5, verse 5, Blessed, oh no, sorry, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit. And what does it mean, poor in spirit? Poor in spirit, I think it means that a person understands that he has nothing good in himself. He is completely sinful. He's bad. And he also understands that he cannot save himself from this condition. And he needs somebody to save him. And he needs a savior. And I think this is poor in spirit. When we understand that nothing good in us, we are going to eternal destruction, to eternal death, and I have no chance to be to save myself. And I need somebody to save me. I need a savior. And here, maybe I would like to give another example that I want to say that I think that many people don't like to go to doctors. And sometimes, especially maybe men, I don't know. And when people didn't feel well, they understand that something is wrong with their health, but they don't go to doctor, to hospital. They say, okay, I will stay at home maybe, and tomorrow it should be better. Maybe I will take some medications just myself. And with me, it was one time similar situation. It was in October of 1988, and still it was the Soviet Union. I lived there. And one morning, before noon, I remember I felt some pain in my abdomen, and it was pain. Then it was stronger, stronger, more and more. And I said, okay, I laid down on sofa, bed, and I waited all day. It didn't get better, but it got worse. And then evening, night, and at night it was also even worse. And then morning, and our sons left for their schools, and my wife, she had to go to work. And she was ready to leave, to go to work. And I said, okay, you can go, and I will stay in bed. Hopefully, it will be better. But she said, she didn't tell me anything, maybe. She just called to ambulance. And they came quickly. They took me to emergency. And emergency was empty. I was there, the only one patient. And very quickly, and the doctor was there, quite skilled doctor. He immediately determined that it was appendicitis, a problem with appendix. And he said that I needed surgery urgently. And I was taken to this department, and surgery was done. And so, but in fact, like they told me, and I understood it later. I could, if I stayed at home and if my wife didn't call ambulance, I would probably died. So it was the case when I couldn't help to myself. I couldn't save myself. I needed, desperately, I needed somebody to save me. And God sent me to this hospital, and doctors saved my life. So, and I say about this poor in spirit. So, we feel that desperate situation, that we desperately need somebody to save us. We are going to eternal destruction, to hell, to burning place, terrible place, and we can do nothing ourselves to save us. And we need somebody. We need savior. And we have this Savior. God saved, sent Jesus Christ, his own Son, to save us from our sins. And then about repentance again. So when we admit our sins, when we weep and cry about them, what after that? What after that? And God's word tells us in the first epistle of John, good words written them, first epistle of Apostle John, and in chapter 1, verse 9, and John writes, if we confess our sins, in other words, if we have this true repentance, if we truly repent in our sins, and what? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So God's word tells us that if we confess our sins, if we have real repentance, God is faithful and just, and he will forgive our sins. Exactly. There is no exclusion, but there is only one. Jesus Christ said about that. Only one sin cannot be forgiven when we blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. But I hope we don't do it. So, but all other sins can be forgiven by God if we confess them. So, and this is a very good news for us. And Satan often whispers to us, he says, he tries to bring doubt to us, or maybe you are such a terrible sinner and your sins cannot be forgiven, and so even don't try. But it is not true. We know that Satan is a liar, and God's word tells us exactly that God is faithful and just, and he will forgive our sins. And then let's go to next verse. Next verse, verse 6. And here, after those five verses, when Jesus told the people to repent, then Jesus tells them a parable. And verse 6, he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. In this parable, so a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. So story about a man, some owner of the garden, vineyard, and he had there a fig tree, though it was a vineyard, but people sometimes planted also fig trees in a vineyard. It was not unusual. So, and this owner of this vineyard came to that fig tree and was trying to find fruit on that tree, but he couldn't find even one. No fruit. A lot of leaves and maybe beautiful tree, but no fruit. And then, verse 7, then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? So, and there was a worker, a dresser it is called here in this vineyard, who took care about plants there. And this owner of the vineyard told him, so I tried to find some fruit from this tree for 3 years, but I couldn't find any fruit. So I think it should be cut down. It only, this tree only occupies ground. Maybe I can remove this tree and to plant another tree and I will get fruit. And here we should pay attention to such things. So this certain man, he was owner of this land, and he planted this vineyard and some fig trees, and it was his property. And he had complete right, complete authority, power over this land, this vineyard. And he could do anything he wanted to do with all planted. And he had, we can say, maybe moral right to expect. So he planted this fig tree, and he had a moral right to expect good fruit from this tree. And in fact, purpose of those trees are fruit. And we all know when we plant some apple tree maybe in our garden, we don't plant it just for to have beautiful tree. We expect to have fruit and then to eat those apples and to make jam and so on. Or maybe like farmers, they have a cow, for example, and the cow is not a pet, like cat or I don't know who. Some people have snake like a pet. But a cow is a practical animal. So and the farmer expects to have from a cow milk, then maybe meat, and maybe even skin. So this is practical thing, cow or tree. And this owner, he had a complete right to expect fruit, and he didn't have fruit. And he was completely right when he said he had also complete right to cut it down, to remove this tree, because it doesn't give fruit. It doesn't work like it should be, like it should. And here, this dresser, this worker in this vineyard, and he answering and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. And this worker in the vineyard, he says, he asked, Lord, let us wait one more year, and I will work with this tree, I will dig about it and dung it, I will put some fertilizer and dig ground, and I will try to do my best to make this tree bear fruit. But if it doesn't help after 1 year, yeah, you can cut it down, you can remove it. And what is the meaning of this parable? This owner of the vineyard is God himself. This God. He owns everything, he created everything, he planted this vineyard and in our world he created everything. And a dresser or worker in this vineyard is Jesus Christ himself. He works with plants, he works with us, with people. And about fig tree, what is fig tree here? It can have maybe two or three meanings. First, maybe this fig tree can represent Israel. Israel. It was a, and in another case, no, but so this is Israel. Why Israel? Because Israel and people of Israel, they were God's chosen people. They were people whom God chose, and God worked with them, and he expected fruit from them. And God worked a lot with his people, with this tree. He sent them, he gave them, first of all, he gave them his word, God's word. Then he sent to them prophets. So, but they didn't give fruit. They didn't give at least good fruit. And then after that, so if a tree doesn't give good fruit, it can be and it should be cut down. And we can read in Matthew chapter 21, verse 43. This is after a well-known parable about vineyard and husbandmen, when they killed and householder, owner of the vineyard, when husbandman killed and beat his servants, and then householder owner of this vineyard sent his son, and the husbandman also killed his son. And this parable is very clear. It is about Israel, about Israel. And finally, even they, like Jesus speaks in this parable, even they killed the son of the owner, and in reality, they killed the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself. And after that parable, in verse 43, it is Jesus says, "Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof." So Jesus speaks it clearly, that kingdom of God will be taken from Israel. Israel. And when Jews crucified via cruel and evil Pilate, though he didn't want to kill him, to kill Jesus. So when Jews crucified Jesus, kingdom of God was taken from Israel. And today Israel doesn't have any God's blessing, according to God's word. So this tree, fig tree, Israel didn't bear fruit, and it was cut down according to God's word and God's rules. So, and another meaning of this fig tree. This fig tree in our parable, in this verse 13, another meaning is this fig tree represents all of us. We are all like this fig tree. And we also, God also wants and expects us to bear good fruit. And if we bear this good fruit, we will live. But if not, we will be cut down also. And what does it mean? What does it mean, good fruit? Maybe we can read about this Colossians chapter 5, verses 22-23. And Apostle Paul speaks here about fruit which God expects from us. But the fruit, verse 22-23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Such fruit. And then Apostle Paul adds something important. Against such there is no law. Against such there is no law. So if we bear good fruit, in which God is pleased, against us in this case there is no law. And what else here? And important role here in this parable belongs to this dresser, to this worker in God's vineyard. And this is Jesus Christ himself. And he works with us. He, ourselves, we cannot give good fruit, but Jesus dig about us. He fertilize us. How does he do it? So he gives us his teaching. We can read about his parables and teaching and sermons in the Bible, and also he forgives us our sins, and this is the most important. And also, I would like maybe to continue my own story. In 1998, when I was saved from physical death, but I can tell you that at that time, I wasn't a believer. I wasn't a Christian. I didn't believe in Jesus, I even maybe didn't know about sins, and I was that fig tree. And at that time, God had complete right to cut me down. He could look at me and say, oh, this guy is hopeless. Let us send him to hell. And he would be completely right if he did so. And he had all right to do this. So I was a sinner. I didn't repent. I didn't admit my sins. I didn't believe in Jesus. And so I could go to hell. And I didn't have any excuse. But, I don't know why, but God decided to wait. And some years later, he sent to me his people. He sent to me his disciples. And it happened so that those people were from America, And such people like Bruce Seline and Dennis Hillman came to me, to Lost Sinner, and not only to me and to other people also, but to me, and they preached. And in the beginning, I was listening to them, to their preaching, and I thought, oh, it is good, but I didn't accept it immediately. So I liked it, I respected it, but I didn't believe immediately. But then it was exactly like it is written in Romans chapter 10. So it was impossible to believe without if we don't hear. And it's impossible to believe with those people who preach to you this. And then God's word, faith comes by hearing, and hearing from word of God. And it worked. So it took some time, and God's word worked in me, inside of me, and I was listening, and not only from America, but also in our case, people from Finland played a big and good role. Yeah, many preachers from Finland, and they preached to us. So, and my life was changed, and I believed in Jesus Christ, and repentance came to me. I understood my sinfulness. I confessed my sins, and I was proclaimed forgiveness of sins. I was told, believe that all your sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ and because of his shed blood. And I believed in this good news. And I believe that my sins are forgiven, though I am still a sinner. I don't try to do sins, of course, or big sins, but still I am a sinner, and I will be a sinner till the last breath. So this flesh is with me, and nowhere to go from it. But good news that my sins are forgiven. And then let us turn back to Matthew 21:43. We read, therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. So Jesus said that kingdom of God will be taken from Israel, and it will be given to another nation. And what is this nation Jesus speaks about? And this nation is not a real nation. It is not Canadian or Finns or Americans. This is a Christian church, Christian universal church. And today, kingdom of God is given to this Christian church. And in our parable today, this vineyard is this Christian church. And in Christian church today, people can obtain forgiveness of their sins. And this, it was established by God, by Jesus Christ. And remember, we remember that Jesus told his disciples, to whom you forgive sins, it will be forgiven on heaven. How it is? If you remit, something like this in English, don't remember exactly. So if you forgive to somebody sins here on the earth, they will be forgiven in heaven. And if you retain sins on somebody here on the earth, it will be retained on heaven. So Jesus Christ gave right to forgive sins to his church on the earth. And there is no another way, according to God's word. So, and also maybe I would like to mention, so Jesus works a lot with us, and we know that Jesus, we can read from the Bible that Jesus made a lot of miracles. He could heal different sicknesses, even he could resurrect dead people. And also today there are miracles. And what is, sometimes people say, oh, miracle, some healing or some natural miracles. But the biggest miracle is when a sinner becomes believer, when a sinner who was going to death, to eternal death, he turns, he's changed, and he is going to death. This is a real miracle. In fact, death turned to life through Jesus Christ. And we know that that Jesus Christ is able to revive even dead and completely dry tree. And we know many cases when bad people, even terrible criminals, they did terrible crimes and sins, and they repented sincerely, and they became good Christians and even pastors and preachers, and there are a lot of such cases. And this is real examples when Jesus revived dead trees. So, and we still live in this world, in this war zone, but we shouldn't be discouraged. And we don't know what can happen with us today or tomorrow. A lot of different accidents can be around us, and even with us, we don't know. And with plane and train, a lot of different cases. But even if nothing happens with us in this life, even if we die peacefully in our bed some many years from now, in any case, this earthly life will be finished. And I think it will be never enough, in many cases. I think even old people, when they die, they don't say, oh, it is enough. Maybe many people say, oh, I would like to live a little bit more. But in any case, this life will be finished, will be ended. But after that, eternal life is waiting for us. And only the question is where we will spend this eternity, in hell or in heaven with God and with Jesus. And it depends from us. It depends from us because Jesus died for all mankind. He died for all people. And if somebody goes to hell, this is completely his fault, not God's fault. But if somebody goes to paradise, if somebody goes to heaven, this is completely, this is completely belongs to God, victory of God, not because of us. If we go to heaven, not because of us, not because of you, but only all glory goes to God. So let us pray that even we live in this sinful world, may our life, like Apostle Paul says, may our life goes peacefully and quietly, and may all those earthly disasters go around us. Let us pray for that. But also let us pray and hope that all our sins are forgiven in Jesus' name, and we all meet again in heaven at Jesus' feet, like it is said in one song. So, and to him, to God, all glory and all honor. And let us pray in the beginning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, we thank you for this church, we thank you for all people which came here today, but most of all, we thank you for your dear Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth, who suffered on the cross of Calvary, who shed his pure blood, pure holy blood, for our sins, and who died for us, for terrible sinners, and in whom we can have forgiveness of our sins and eternal life. And we thank you for that. And we also ask you to bless all of us and to bless the rest of the day today and the rest of our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. And accept God's blessing. Lord, bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. And the last hymn.